Tonight, BBC America will begin running Geoffrey Chaucer's Canterbury Tales. But don't expect period costumes or the original Middle English. These tales have been put into a contemporary setting. The Miller's Tale, a story about a young wife and her old, jealous carpenter of a husband, has been rewritten to take place in a karaoke bar.
My baby loves.
John, this is Nick Zakian.
Yeah.
He's in the music business.
Hi, John. We met already, I think, I'd say.
John's my husband.
Oh, well, I'll shake her hand again in that case, and that explains a lot. Because if I had a wife as beautiful and talented as Alison, I might not want to share her with the world either.
That's James Nesbitt playing Nick, the rogue who comes to steal the rapturous young Alison from jealous John. But young Danny is also pining after Alison. Add episodes of unbridled sex, bums chucked out of windows, hot pokers, and plenty of flatulence. Goodness, if Chaucer were alive today, he'd be writing soap operas. The man who wrote this modern version is Peter Bowker, who joins us from the BBC in London. Thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure, Scott.
And why the need to update Canterbury Tales?
I think it was coming from two directions. I think the producer, Kate Bartlett, was looking for a way to have six individual dramas all linked by common theme. And then Laura Mackey and Frank Rodden were, I think, holed up in a bar somewhere and said, you know, what about using the Canterbury Tales as template for six single plays? And it seemed a good way of getting individual voices and individual stories through the wire, really. And the truth is, they're great stories, and maybe people have lost sight of that because they're not so au fait with the language and so on, because all I remember from Chaucer at A-level is getting a terrible headache.
Well, the music becomes apparent after a while in Middle English, but it's a slog.
That's right. And I have to say, this time round, I got it. This time round, I realised what was trying to be drilled into me all those years ago. And I just think he's a fantastic storyteller. And obviously, doing a modern adaptation, you do lose the musical quality of the language. But I think if it turns a few more people onto Chaucer and helps a few more people like me through their A-levels, I think it's probably a sacrifice worth making.
Mm. Now, why did you set The Miller's Tale in a karaoke bar?
It came about because when I read the original, and clearly the first thing that was clear was it's a perfect con story. It's maybe the first recorded con trick. And what Fly Nicholas does in the original is play on John's weakness, and John is easily flattered, he's aspirational, but also he uses religion. And I was trying to think of a kind of contemporary equivalent where a modern-day prophet comes into town and says, I know these things. I know these things to be true. And they say it with such certainty that people believe them. And then I think you've got Pop Idol running in America. The Simon Cowell figure in Pop Idol just says things with such certainty, even when he's wrong. I suppose modern celebrity, the desire for celebrity, replaces that kind of desire for religious insight. Mm. I think that's where it's coming from.
The Pop Idol is the American version is called American Idol in the United States.
Oh, right.
Not that I've ever seen it.
No, of course not.
But I've been told. you are familiar with karaoke bars, I understand.
Sadly, yes. Sadly, I'm a real sucker for karaoke, and I always think that things like, you know, Pop Idol, American Idol are karaoke without the irony, basically.
Sorry.
That's all right.
And, they're standing and cheering in the control room, though, I've got to tell you.
Good to clap to hear.
Scored home with that one. You know, when this sort of thing happens, there are people, I'm not even going to refer to them as purists, because I don't think they're necessarily purists, but there are people who think that while they might give an old classic new pertinence, they think the whole idea of a classic in many ways is to transpose yourself to another time and place and take it apart and understand that a story that's 5 and 6 centuries old is still familiar to us today.
I mean, I have to say, you know, I agree with most of that, but I don't see that the two are mutually exclusive. Mm-hmm. I think that you would be unlikely to turn to Chaucer out of choice in a bookshop or so on, but you may be steered in his direction by these adaptations. Clearly, if you're if you're an English major doing postgraduate studies at university, these versions are going to be less than useless. They may be of some sort of marginal interest. But most of us aren't doing that. As an ex-teacher myself, thank God that people are doing modern takes on the classics, because the majority of children you're teaching and trying to engage are initially reluctant. And if any of these help them get over that initial reluctance, then I think it's a good job, not a bad job. But I would agree there's no substitute in the end for the experience of immersing yourself in the language and the culture of the original.
Well, Mr. Bowker, good luck.
Thank you. Thanks very much. It's been really nice.
Peter Bowker updated Chaucer's The Miller's Tale. Updated versions of the Canterbury Tales begin airing tonight on BBC America.